Lundlund in the goal. He's not bad, is he?
See the remarkable true story.
He's a German. You can't ignore that.
It's moving and powerful. Brilliant. 5 stars.
Manchester City goalkeeper, Bert Trautmann.
The Keeper. In cinemas April 5th.
Are you troubled by stale podcasts in the middle of the night?
Do you love films that feature the busting of spooks, specters, or ghosts?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute.
Ghostbusters Resurrection is an RPG audio drama combining tabletop gaming and cinematic paranormal elimination adventures.
Call the professionals at nerdyshow.com/ghostbusters.
We're ready to believe you.
Flame On is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
What's going on, everybody? This is Pat the Bear, sitting in the host chair here, Flame On, and we are back again with another episode of Drag is the New Spandex, minus Oral, who still wants it to be called All Queens and Him, but he's not here, so it's still Drag is the New Spandex.
Oh, well, I'll be extra Oral for him today.
Perfect.
All right, an Oral swab, if you will. Is that a thing? Do people do those?
What?
An oral swab.
They do in doctor's offices.
No, I know they do them for, like, medical things, yeah. But, like, wasn't there a product, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm sure you will, wasn't there a product in the 90s where, so it looked like a Q-tip, but it had, like, a liquid in the clear handle, and you broke it, and it was like a scope or a Listerine, and you swabbed it around your mouth.
Were you cracking glow sticks and putting them in your mouth?
That would explain so much. But no, I'm
no,
pretty
I think
sure.
I felt like it was in the tip, and like you had to like crack the tip for it to like permeate out. I feel like I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was.
Did
but
you both eat glow sticks?
I think so.
Well, I
you know where I'm from. That's what we do. With a roller rink,
I'm
right?
Sure, I'm pretty sure that my grandmother had a like a little bucket of them. Not a bucket, like a dish of them. In the
most grandmothers had hard candies and hard caramels. Yours had little mouth swabs. I love it.
But I feel like it was next, you know, because grandma and grandpa always had everybody over at their house, and there's like 50 of us between grandkids, great grandkids, and great great grandkids. And there was always a little dish of mints, a little dish of mouthwashes, of toothpaste, of toothbrush, all those things. Anyway, I feel like there was a dish there with these. It only had the swab on one end, the little bud, and then the stick was clear plastic, and you had to break it and squeeze it into the tip and swab your mouth. There was also this toothbrush that they bought, and I've only seen it at that like this one time. It had the toothpaste in the handle. And you would crank it out, and it would come through the bristles.
I've never seen that.
I had only seen it like in that very brief time period, and that was probably 10 years ago.
Wow. Interesting.
I googled mouthwash sticks, and there's nothing.
But this was before the Goog.
What?
That's what the kids say.
Oh.
Anything invented okay. before Google was a thing does not exist on
they
the internet.
Say
if it was 10 years ago, Google existed.
Goog is fi.
Oh.
I just learned all this. So, well, we have our 9-year-old nephew, Braden, here today. And he keeps me, like, up on the lingo for the kids. I've learned that it's too much effort to say fire when you think something is hot. So now you just cut it in half and you say, that's fi. It's fi, yo. Not Fio. Isn't Fio, that's actually a Greek yogurt or something. Isn't it?
Well, Fios is Verizon's internet and cable service.
Well, I have AT&T.
Oh God. No, there is a Greek yogurt. Faye?
I think it's...
Isn't that Uncle Jesse's?
No.
No, he's Oikos. No.
Oh.
Yeah. Poor thing. What's he gonna do without Aunt Becky on the final season of Fuller House? God. Did you see how petty BuzzFeed is, though?
No.
They released a quiz today that said, let Aunt Becky choose which college you're best suited for based on your Full House choices. I was like, that is a level of petty that I strive every day to be.
But did you click on it?
Well, duh.
They win.
Oh, I love it. Oh, come on. She fucked up. Let her learn her lesson. Although I do think it really sucks for the fans that there is legit one season left of Fuller House. And the whole final episode, like the last few episodes of season 4, were how the original adult cast were all getting jobs and moving back to San Francisco so that the final season they were all together. And I was looking for it. And I was like, well, how are they going to get around this? I said, probably. I said, what would be funny is if they said she was off with Nikki and Alex getting them, like, into college. Like, helping them pick
a college. Touring colleges with exactly. The boys. I wonder which one they'll get into.
So if you're listening, Netflix, that's my idea. And I would just like to, you know, be Aunt Becky for the final season.
Is this it?
No, that's just a packet of mouthwash. They give you that in the hospital. Okay. All right. So welcome to our very interesting podcast all about mouthwashes in the 1990s.
Joining me for this discussion, we have got the one and only Meals Ginger Minge.
Meow, 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 meow.
And stage manager to the stars, drag husband extraordinaire. And that guy sitting over to my right. We've got CJ here.
Sup.
So thank you, Pearl. That's nice. Could you be her, like, slightly chunky sister, Pearl Necklace?
I'm the oyster.
Oh. If you liked Pearl, well, you'll really tolerate oyster.
Oh. Was that what Pearl comes inside of? Oh, sorry.
Oh, I don't know that much. If I had videos of it, I'd put it on OnlyFans.com.
OnlyFans. See my everything.
Opryland. You sang everything.
So we are here to dive a little bit into season 11 of Drag Race.
I am so excited.
I know. It's been forever since you've been here.
It has been forever since. I've been busy. I've been a busy girl.
I know. It's been like a year, and just over a year, and like 14 seasons of Drag Race have been on the air.
It's very true. That's why I've been so damn busy.
I know.
Been doing viewing parties.
I'm so excited. Listen, I cannot fault you for being so busy, but you are in town. You just came off of a second weekend of sold-out shows doing the Golden Gals live at Parliament House.
Yeah, it's definitely not the Golden Girls.
Nope, you know,
it's
not the Golden Gals. Gals.
Live, exclamation point.
I love it.
That was so fun.
I heard so many good things about it. I was not fortunate enough to get a ticket, so the next time it comes around, I will be there.
Well, you know, Gidget and she invited me over to her house for Taco Tuesday, not even a month ago at this point, and I had just been let go from the Haters Roast tour, so I had some time on my schedule, and she said, well, what are you going to do to fill your time? And I said, are you thinking what I'm thinking?
And she take over the world?
Me. Yeah, and she was like, we are not trying black tar heroin again. No, I said, you and I have always talked about doing a live production of The Golden Girls. Why don't we try to pull it together? We did not think in our heads, because we had had a couple bottles of wine at that point. We didn't think in our heads, it's literally 3 weeks away. How are we going to do this? So we wake up the next day, realize we had drunkenly sent out emails to the people that run the Parliament House Theater, and they had already announced it because they were so excited. There was no backing out. There was no turning back. And I also had to leave to go film a couple things for Netflix and for Virgin Cruise Lines, for Virgin Voyages, that took me away for 2 of those 3 weeks. And then I got back and my grandmother went into the hospital and eventually passed away. So that took up the rest of my time. We put this entire show together in about 3 days. And we had absolutely no clue what the response was going to be like. We thought, oh, we'll sell a few tickets to some really excited fans of either ours or the Golden Gals. But opening night hit and we were sold out. And after that, all of a sudden, every single performance was not only sold out, but oversold.
That's awesome.
And we added 2 more performances, which immediately oversold as well. So it turned into this thing that made us really realize it's a great concept. It really works for us. The cast is so incredible and so fun to work with. So we're working the schedule now that we can do this as a regular thing here in Orlando.
That's phenomenal. I can't wait till you guys come back with it, because I was in Chicago for the original run of dates.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw that you guys had added on more. And the next thing you know, it's like, and sold out. I'm like, well, maybe I can go sit in the DJ booth and just watch it from up there.
You could have called me. I would have picked you up.
I'll just sit over in the wings. I'll just watch behind the curtain.
Well, in Divine Grace, who plays Dorothy, local legend, everyone loves Divine Grace. Her mother went into hospice and passed away during this rehearsal process. And
she was laid up in the hospital for a while before that.
Yeah.
And then oh my Lord.
But then in the process of planning the funeral, she ended up back in the hospital with a collapsed lung. So she woke up, had to go back to do her mother's funeral, deliver the eulogy, flew in, learned it all in one day, and then we put it together. It was insane. The schedule was ridiculous. I don't think that we could have done it if we had stopped and thought about it.
Probably.
But because it was just pure adrenaline, and at that point we were like, well, we've sold tickets, so this is happening, whether we want it to or not. I think that's what pushed it to be what it was. Oh God. And it was, I can't wait to do it again. That's all I'm going to say. We'll leave it there, but it is so fun and I can't wait to do it again.
That's awesome. And that's a testament to you all as actors and as performers and as people to be able to pull it together that quickly. And not a single person that I know that saw it had a negative word to say about it.
We got standing ovations every single night. People leaping to their feet before we had taken the final bout. Like, I was overwhelmed. I'm still overwhelmed. It doesn't feel like the experience was real. And not for nothing, you know, drag has become my job, my full-time job. And any job, no matter how much you love it, it's work. Yeah. And you can lose your passion for it. And I had been losing a lot of my steam. I just was tired. The thought of shaving and putting on fake eyelashes was not very fun or appealing anymore. And doing this run of the Golden Gals made me love drag again. It made me look forward to doing it again. And it's kind of given me the kick in the ass to get back out there and make every show great.
Nice.
And the crew was amazing for the show.
The crew was amazing.
Although I heard that y'all sold VIP tickets but didn't have a professional photographer that the Parliament House normally uses for events there. So,
well, you were gone.
Nobody asked me, all right?
I asked about you.
Oh, well, okay.
And I was told you were gone. Yes.
All right. Yeah, because I didn't realize that you guys were doing VIP tickets for it. And the opening night, I was in Chicago. It was that Friday night, and one of my friends was at the opening night show, and he messaged me. He's like, oh, are you taking pictures tonight? And I'm like, I'm in Chicago.
I asked, like, I think it was the Wednesday. Yeah, we opened on Friday, so it was Wednesday. I was like, so what's going on with VIP? What's the meet and greet like? What are we doing? Gidget and I had the posters printed out and signed and all that, so we were good on our end. We were like, so what do we need to do? Where's Pat? Like, how much do we pay him? Oh, he's not here, girl. Can't you just have your husband or your roommate snap a picture on their phone? I was like, Okay.
Well, all right then.
All right then. That's what's going to happen.
But it was fine. We sat there and ate cheesecake and drank coffee.
No, and all the pictures looked fantastic. Yeah. They all, everybody loves them. All, I just keep seeing pictures of people sitting at the table with you guys, and it's just awesome. Well, I'm just sad that I did not get to be a part of it.
My
this
favorite
thing.
Well, you'll be there for the next one if you're here. My favorite part of, my favorite compliment, my favorite feedback from the audience was that, you know, these are fans, much like myself, that were very young or not yet born whenever the Golden Girls was in its original run. But they've become just these, like, super mega fans over the years. And it gave them a chance to kind of experience what a live taping of the show must have been like. And there wasn't one single night where we weren't making each other break character. I spit all over the audience a couple times. I spit right in Trinity Taylor's face.
I was
going to
say, I heard that. I love it. That's too funny.
I thought she was upset, but I couldn't tell because her face wasn't moving. Anyway,
So we are happy to have you back on the show with us.
So happy to be had.
We are going to chat a little bit about the most current season, which is currently airing of RuPaul's Drag Race, and that is season 11.
Yes.
Which I may have seen you on the first episode.
That's right. Yes, God. Oh. See, I could have been in that Pepsi commercial. Oh.
I love it. So
I was like, how are you going to get Monet to go do that commercial? I like her, but she don't look like she sits around all day drinking Pepsi. I do.
Diner.
I look like I haven't left my stool in years.
Norm.
That sounds really dirty.
It's not good to hold on to your stool for that
long.
It's
not. You have to let it go. Let it go. Be one with the wind and sky.
All right. So before we dig into any of the episodes or your experience coming back for the opening photography challenge of episode one. Mm-hmm. Let's do a quick rundown of the contestants as if they were all still here.
Okay. Because
we know we've lost a couple of them. That's so fine. I want to get, we'll go through.
Well, hey, it's also season 11 of RuPaul's Drag Race. They could all be coming back next week. You have no idea. They're pulling out all the stops these days. They're like, oh, we've never done it before. For the first time in Drag Race history, we've decided to kick out the cast and bring back season one.
What you don't know is that season 12 cast has already been announced. It's everybody from this season, exactly. Minus the winner.
Even the winner might show up.
What you don't know is we've replaced RuPaul's coffee with Folgers crystals.
Let's see if he notices.
She never has two cups.
Oh, boy.
So I'm going to go through and you guys give me your quick impression of the girls. All right.
Girls.
Oh, could that be the next thing y'all do?
No. No. We've thought about Facts of Life, but Gidget and
but
I couldn't
like
decide
F-A-X
who was going to be Natalie. And, and who, what am I going to do? Hire Asia Black to come be Tootie?
Yes.
Actually, yes. Oh, no. So here's the thing. So we were meeting with Don and Susan, who own Parliament House.
We own everything
at the Parliament House. We went to dinner with them after the first Saturday night show. And, you know, they loved it. They were beside themselves. It was such a huge success and they were really happy for it. So Susan said, in all seriousness, I know what you guys should do next. You need to do some episodes of that show about the dry cleaner who, you know, they move from like the bad neighborhood to the good neighborhood and it's got that great song. And then I was like, moving on up? She said, yeah, that song. I said, the Jeffersons? You want me, Gidget Galore, Divine Grace, and Mr. and Miss Adrian and Doug Bowser to be the Jeffersons? In all seriousness, she said, yeah, what's wrong with that? And I said, more than we can cover right now. You signed the paychecks, girl. I'm just going to say, we'll put it on the back burner.
This could be your whiz.
Oh, I hope not. I hope not. No, we once we have decided that we have like played out the whole Golden Gals experience, I think we want to move into designing ladies.
We need to re-record the theme song. Thank you for being a pal.
Appreciation is key. I don't know. Anyway.
Travel down the block and back again.
Friendship. You love everyone.
All right. So let's go through this list. Akira C. Davenport.
I think that she epitomizes pageantry. I think that she is, I know that we've really used opulence like 5 million times, but I feel like she really is opulent. I think every time she hits the runway, she is pageant perfection. And I feel like she is the second coming of Kennedy Davenport. Different type of entertainer, but the same energy.
Gotcha.
I would agree. I mean,
same.
I concur.
I was going to say it's the second coming of Kennedy, but. Ginger stole that, so it's
same cool. Sis.
Same sis.
she's the current Miss Black Universe, right? Or she was Miss Black Universe at the time of the filming.
Filming, yes.
Okay, because did they just have that?
I don't know. There's so many pageants right now. Yeah. I'm so out of the loop. I love pageants, but I haven't had the time to really.
Ariel Versace.
Okay, so Ariel Versace. I've actually known her for several years. She used to do some hair for me. You know, I used to farm out my hair needs because I'm not good at hair. Everybody knows that. If it's not a spray paint forehead, I don't know how to do it. But I had commissioned her to do some work for me, and we got to know each other through that before I met my really good friend Chad, who does all my hair now and is just exceptional and wonderful, and I love him. Thanks, Chad. Get your hair from Integration on Instagram. Ting. But I got to know her from that, and I've worked with her several times when I've been in Philly. I think she's lovely, and one thing that I actually really respect about her is that she is not afraid to speak her mind, and she's not afraid to own up to what she said. And she's also not afraid to apologize if something she said maybe was taken the wrong way or came across much more harshly than she meant it. I haven't been too incredibly impressed with what she's presented on the runway, only because I know the kind of looks that she has put together for Instagram for the last couple of years. She got her name and her brand from Instagram. So I think that maybe I had too high expectations of her runway wise, that she hasn't quite lived up to yet, but who knows? We're only 3 episodes in, so.
Absolutely.
It could get bigger and better. And of course, you don't want to give away all the good stuff right at the beginning, but it's season 11 and there's 15 girls and it seems like a lot of them are coming for blood.
Yeah. You know? Absolutely.
My thing with Ariel is, I was interested to see how she would translate from Instagram to the competition of Drag Race. Because, you know, she's not a pageant girl, so she's not used to that kind of competition. She's used to taking a photo, uploading it, and seeing what happens. So it's real interesting to see how the transition from an Instagram drag queen to a competition drag queen is for her.
But it bothers me that particularly Silky keeps coming after her for being just an Instagram queen and just a fashion girl.
Yeah.
She's been a performer for years.
Well, yeah.
She may not be everyone's favorite type of performer, but Ariel is a performer. She's had like regular club gigs for years. And I don't like that she is being discredited as a performer just because she doesn't do the same type of drag as some of the other girls. I've been in Silky and Vanjie's position. We all saw how I felt about other people's drag on season 7. But because I had to learn about that the hard way, I hate seeing other girls discredit it and do it as well. Because I think the whole world of drag is a lot more fun when nobody is the same and when everyone's doing their own thing. And that's not where I came from. It came from pageant and polished and perfection and tits and hip pads and like big hair and all that, which I still love and enjoy, but it doesn't make it automatically better or worse than somebody who sits and takes a picture and face tunes it and puts it up. There's art and beauty in that as well, and I don't know.
I'm feeling
just bothers
very
me.
Attacked right now.
Well, but
it was an opinion. And I'm not trying to discredit Ariel for what she does.
I'm not saying that you are.
I think she's very stunning. I think she, her translation from the Instagram world to television has been very well done. But it's just interesting to see that transition.
Well, I'm not discrediting you, and I'm not attacking you. I'm saying, like, every single episode, it seems like
in her confessionals,
Silky in particular has led the march against her not being an entertainer and not being a performer. And she is. I mean, credit where it's due. Yeah. She is.
And we already had an Instagram La Queen make the top three a couple seasons back. So
yeah. Well, I mean, Violet, for the most part, was, you know, she was a performer as well, but she also focused mainly on looks and photo shoots. And, you know, in my head at that time, I was like, but you're not out there in the trenches. You're not shaking your ass for a couple dollars here and there. So I didn't view it as valid as entertainment. But having seen how she's progressed and how much work she does put into it, I see the beauty and the art in it now.
Yeah.
I don't want them to be blinded and turned off to being receptive to the other girls. Yeah. That's it. That's fine.
All right. Next on the list is Brooklyn Heights.
Oh, Brooklyn.
I love Brooklyn. I've actually known her for years. She's a former Miss Continental. Her mother she did Continental Plus with me for years, Fahrenheit. And their whole family is beautiful. Their whole family is Canadian. And they're just the nicest, most professional drag family I think I've ever worked with. I think that Brooklyn is absolutely stunning on stage and such a performer. There are things she does with her body that I didn't even know was possible. Because I'm more of a weeble wobble, I won't fall down, but she can somehow crawl and contort herself, and she goes all the way up on her toes to do the point with the ballet, mm-hmm. and like she is the real deal. She love Brooklyn
Mama.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So next on the list, we have got Mercedes Amon Diamond.
Opulence. She owns everything. Well, so first of all, I was the very first Miss Minnesota Continental Plus, where she is from. So I got to meet her several years back. She's a really lovely girl. And I think that whether she proceeds far in the competition or not, she's already won the season because she's this year's Miss Vanjie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She is already so memed everywhere. They're going to meme her ass to death, girl. Like, it is literally taking on a life of its own, this whole opulence thing.
Yeah. I fucking love it.
I love it, too. Because there's opulence. You own everything. Ambulance. You broke everything.
Turbulence. You spill everything.
Opryland. Y'all sing everything. What else is there? There's a lot.
Literally do with anything.
OnlyFans. See my everything.
For $9.99 a month. Ting. So I think that no matter what, like, she's already set for a little while, and the way things have been going each season, I wouldn't be surprised if they brought her back for season 12 if she does happen to get eliminated on season 11.
And she showed that she can tear it apart on the stage.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's one thing when you're just like, all right, you end up being memed a lot from the season or whatever, and then you just kind of, you know, we don't really get to see anything good from you, but I mean, she tore it apart in that lip sync. Yes. So,
oh, she sure did.
Yeah. So I think she'll be okay.
Oh, yeah.
When she comes out performing her Adam Joseph remix as a number.
Oh, yeah. She's already got a remix.
I love it.
It's perfect. No, she's great. She's good. She's already made an impression no matter what.
Yes, absolutely. Moving on, we have Nina West.
Nina.
I love Nina West. Well, she's the third Nina that we've had on Drag Race. Nina Flowers.
Nina
Benina Fantina Fun Brown. and now Nina West.
Yeah.
I've known Nina West for so long through the pageant world, which is funny because she only did two pageants. And she won both. She won her prelim to the National Entertainer of the Year pageant, and then she won National Entertainer of the Year with her now legendary living gown.
Yeah.
She very quickly kind of cemented herself in the drag world as an icon.
Yeah.
Because she's so creative and she's so out there and she doesn't mind taking chances. And she is what I always tried my hardest to be here in Orlando. You know, she's definitely a musical theater boy who tries to parlay that into drag, into the world of drag, and is very successful at it. Her shows that she does every year with Virginia West up in Columbus, mm-hmm. I mean, they sell out as soon as they go, you know, or as soon as the tickets are released, they're immediately sold out. And the shows are always bigger and better, and there's big production numbers and costumes, and they're so creative. And that's what I'm excited most to see from her on Drag Race, which I haven't really seen yet. So I'm hoping she's saving like the big exciting things for maybe something coming up.
Yeah, but I hope we see it soon just in case she does go home. Like, I don't want it to be a missed opportunity for her, cuz
yeah.
You can't save that kind of stuff cuz you never know what's going to happen. Like,
well, it's kind of a double-edged sword. I mean, do you save it?
Yeah.
And so you have somewhere to build to, somewhere to go, or do you just reveal it now and go, well, I don't really have anything else. So, I mean, it's a really delicate balance. It's like a freaking cat walking on ice. I don't know. See, is that a thing? Don't they walk like this?
It can be.
I don't know.
It's like a dog in socks.
Yeah, it's a dog in socks. But I adore her, and I have for years and years and years. And I know that the fan base has been clamoring for Nina West to be on the show.
A long time.
So I think she might actually kind of be feeling the pressure going into it, knowing that there's a bunch of people that are already like, okay, bitch, show me what you can do.
Yeah. My thing with Nina is I just love the fact that she's donated over $1 million to charities. Like, outside of being a performer, she's donated so much. Like, all the tips she gets goes right to a charity. And Nina's just such a humbling person to be around. She's just so loving and so accepting of everything.
And she loves Disney.
Yeah.
We're Disney freaks. She's
a huge Disney nerd.
That's awesome.
I love it. And, I mean, she got to play Ursula on stage already.
I don't need to play Ursula on stage. I'm going to play her in the movie, damn it. You can insert the cricket sound effect right there. I will say, though, before we move on from Nina, that her performance as the Pentecostal television show host, the evangelical hostess, was great.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Their entire team was fantastic. Sans Mercedes, who had to ease her way into it. But once she did her wig reveal, she was everything. She owned everything. Hair follicles. You own everything.
I love Nina's Storgy impersonation. It was probably my favorite thing I've ever seen. Ever.
That's the first thing that came to my mind. Yeah. And then it was, oh my god, you're also a mop.
I couldn't tell if she was like the thing in like a car wash. Or
See, that's what I would have wanted. If I had gotten a chance to do the fringe runway, I would have just dressed like the car wash and spun down the...
Put a bubble machine somewhere in it.
I think that would have been sickening. That would have been so fun.
I'd have died. That was,
see,
that's
why
fantastic.
I
want to
go back. I just want to have fun with this not take it seriously.
Pinata. Like a pinata. That would have been cute, too.
Yeah.
True.
Absolutely.
And
well,
candy at the judges.
We already did that at Miss Comedy Queen.
Our
current
that's right,
reigning
we
Miss
did.
Comedy Queen.
I forgot we did that.
Yeah. Oh, she's spectacular.
She is.
I like her a lot.
All right. Who's next on the list?
Next up, we got Plastic Tiara.
Beauty.
Ooh.
Oh, she's stunning.
I think she is one of the most beautiful queens that have ever walked through those workroom doors.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've just seen fishy beautiful. Before, but nothing like.
Well, see, I think a lot of people take fishy and, I think it. They don't understand what fishy actually means. Fishy means you could pass as a natural woman.
Yes.
And I think that whether you are viewed as a beauty or not, there are beautiful girls who are fishy and there are beautiful girls who are not. Like, Miss Fame is beautiful. She's stunning. But she's not fishy. I don't look at Miss Fame and say, I don't know. Is that a woman?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Especially when you see the tape on the side of her head.
I saw it up close and in person. And it was still beautiful, damn it.
It's the prettiest tape this side of the Mississippi.
So you look at somebody like Stacey Lane Matthews. She looks like a born and raised woman to me.
Yeah.
And she is.
Oh, absolutely.
But you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I get what you're saying.
You don't need to be a size 2 and
be
classically pretty to be fishy.
Exactly.
You just need to be a woman.
Yeah. A woman. Which, I don't know. I mean, I don't want that to be taken the wrong way. I think people can decipher what I'm trying to say from it. I fumble over my words, but.
Apologies. You offended everyone.
Exactly. But I look at Plastique and I absolutely say she's absolutely stunning. I don't know that I would call her particularly fishy because she's still doing like drag to me. She's got the heavy contour and the really chiseled eye. And I think that her drag is really, really... it's new and it's exciting, but it's still really kind of old school the way she paints, and I really love that.
It's new but familiar.
Yeah, but like you look at Pheromone, who I think is just as stunningly beautiful as Plastique, but her makeup translates a little more fishy to me, a little more natural. I'm walking down the street.
I'm walking
children in nature.
I think when you put it that way, people will understand what you mean, what you were trying to say.
Yeah. I mean, that's all I was trying to say. But anyway.
Next up is Raja O'Hara.
Raja.
I hate when I get to
have a Raja.
I feel like I hate when I get to the point where it's like, did we just merge two previous contestants?
Hello, Mara. Hello, Raja. In the first challenge, I was paired with Raja. I like her. I thought it was funny when she was doing the preseason interview circuit and she said, I'm just excited because like I'm the first openly Christian queen. And I was like, no, honey, no. Like I'm cross-dresser for Christ, but I wasn't even the first.
No.
There have been girls from season one coming on there going, hey, I'm Christian and I'm proud of it and whatever. I try to merge my religious beliefs with my drag, not let one dictate the other, and blah 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 blah. So she tried to own everything, but she did not, and the fan base really kind of put her in her place very quickly. And I like her. I've met her a couple times. We had fun doing that mini challenge together. And we've gotten to know each other a little better since then. But I kind of feel like she's one of the girls that just talks so that she can be the first one to say her opinion without kind of thinking about everything that implies.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I don't
think it's necessarily a bad thing. I just think she kind of digs herself into a hole sometimes. But she's a nice girl. And from what I have seen, I haven't seen a whole lot. I feel like she is a very good performer. You know, she's from the Davenport family, and that's kind of signature for them. You have to be an incredible live entertainer. So I'd be very surprised if she wasn't.
A lot of the stuff we've seen on her has been pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her runways have been pretty. So
I did not love what she walked in wearing, though. I thought it was an interesting idea with the newspapers.
Yeah.
And I also thought that she was in a perfect position to make our picture together really incredible because she had this dress made out of newspapers.
Yeah.
And we weren't allowed as the guests to direct the way the photo shoot went. It was strictly on the contestants. So I'm trying like telepathically to beam into her head. You make me sit on the couch and read your paper while you just pose.
That would have been great.
And it could have been this whole like red for filth kind of thing, and or headline like breaking news, whatever.
Yeah.
It could have been this epic, beautiful picture. But she was so kind of overwhelmed with everything going on. She kept losing those damn earrings. That I
really feel, sis.
Oh no, our photo shoot should have taken like 10 minutes, and ended up taking 30 because she kept just losing the earrings. So PSA. For everybody out there who wants to wear these beautiful, gorgeous pageant jewels, I love them. I think they're amazing. My friend Lolly Cox makes all of mine, and she's very good friends with Chad from Integration Wigs. Call them, get a 2-for-1 ginger special. Ting! All right. But if you're going to wear them, you have to secure them to your head. I super glue mine on. And then I put a magnet to the back of it, so it's not going anywhere. If I was physically capable of doing a somersault, that would still stay on my ear when all was said and done. So if you're going to wear them, just secure them however you can.
And since Ginger's a dancing queen, they never come off when she dances.
That's right. Now my top does. But that's just for artistic purposes.
Autistic purposes?
No, artistic purposes.
Super glue. You won't lose anything.
Yes!
There we go.
Boots and pants. Boots and pants.
From fitness startups and florists to finance app developers, In Good Company is a new podcast from BT about small and medium businesses who've dared to do more with digital. In this episode, we found out how businesses can be more flexible to get more done, using technology to make the most of their working day. It's SME Chat with a slice of tech, hosted by me, Kate Russell. Listen today by searching In Good Company from BT in your podcast app.
Alice started to her feet. She had never before seen a rabbit with either a waistcoat pocket or a watch to take out of it. And burning with curiosity, she ran across the field after it, just in time to see it pop down a large rabbit hole under the hedge. She went to follow, but received a Snapchat from her sister playing with the cat. Distracted, Alice forgot all about the waistcoated rabbit and went on to a less than successful career in recruitment. The end.
Don't let swipes, likes, and beeps get in the way of great stories. With the world's largest selection of audiobooks, the difference is audible.
Next up is Scarlet Envy.
Scarlet Envy.
Ivy Winters. I mean, Scarlet Envy.
No, she looks like the love child of Pearl.
And Tammy Brown.
And Tammy Brown. With the hair of Ivy Winters.
I got Ivy real quick when she walked in. I was like, Ivy?
No, I don't think she looks like Ivy except for the hair.
Not now, because Ivy's got that mustache going on.
I know, I love that. It's so good.
Oh, Lord.
While she's hand-making hot air balloons.
And stained glass in the shape of phallic penises.
I love Ivy Winters simply for the fact that if I'm having a bad day, I will call her and say, girl, what are you doing? And it's always, oh, I'm hand dipping candy canes right now to hang on my self-harvested tree.
She just got internet like last year.
Internet. She just got it.
Good for Ivy, though, living on a farm, living off the land, doing her thing.
I love Ivy. She's one of the best people in the whole wide world. But and this isn't even about her. Scarlet Envy. She really is, you know, well, I believe she's Pearl's drag daughter.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
And
like half the season is drag daughters, cousin nieces. Well,
so when we were doing the first episode, and, you know, I didn't get paired up until halfway through the mini challenge, and we didn't know who we were getting until we got out there. So all these girls keep coming back like, oh, it's my daughter, it's my niece, it's my sister, it's my... I'm like, who the hell did they dredge up for me? I have expected to walk out and see, like, Gidget Galore or the Minx or, like, somebody. So I get out there and I'm like, oh, who is this girl? And I don't mean that in a shady way. It was just like, you know, when your mind starts running quickly going, oh, my God, so who could it be? Who are the possibilities? Yeah. If everybody's being paired with a family member, who did they pull out of the woodworks for me?
You're like, which part of the family tree are you on, sis? Come on.
And then she was like, oh, I'm Kennedy's niece. I'm like, oh, okay. So I see the roundabout way we got here. But Scarlett, I think that there's something very naturally beautiful about her. And I like that it's very androgynous. I like that there is certainly a feminine quality to her, but she doesn't really focus on that. At least it appears to me that she just kind of, she knows who she is and who she wants to be, and that's cool with her. And I liked when, did you see that? So the first outfit that she wore to walk into the workroom, she was getting torn apart for it online by the fan base going, girl, you look so masculine. You should have done this and you should have done that. And she made this entire post about it, which usually I'm like, girl, stop defending yourself. It's silly. But it made sense when I read it. And I was like, oh, I get what you're going for. She wanted to celebrate both sides of being masculine and feminine and being what she felt is absolutely beautiful. And I think that that's the coolest thing about her as an artist, is that she is her own person and marches to the beat of her own drum, and she doesn't really give a shit what other people say.
I can see that.
I like her.
Well, I think she's great. I mean, I have nothing against her. No.
I'm not a huge fan yet. She just seems overly cocky for what we've seen.
I will say that basing it just on watching the show as a spectator, I would agree with you, and I don't feel like she's really being shown at all.
Yeah.
I think that's because she's a New York queen, and there's so much pressure on New York queens on the show.
But there are also so many of them now.
Yeah.
New
York is the new Florida for Drag Race.
Yeah, that you have to kind of stand out compared to all the other queens from New York that have come out, and I think it's her way of being like, okay, y'all want to be from New York, I'm from New York too, look what I can do.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's that, though. I just feel like they haven't really shown much either way about her on the show. But having been on set and met her and talked with her, I understand her as an artist now, I think, more than the regular viewing public does. So I hope that comes across a little bit more as the season progresses. But I will agree with you, strictly based on the show.
Yeah. And that's always tough. That's always
tough. Yeah. Comes across as a little cocky for no reason.
Yeah.
But having known her, I think it's just, I don't think that she's being cocky. I think she's being very sure of.
Confident.
Very confident in her choices.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, speaking of New York, next up we've got Sugar Cane.
I love Sugar Cane. I love her so much. Theater boy. Theater baby. My favorite picture that has surfaced of her was she was playing the male lead in Xanadu. And I'm actually getting ready to go on tour to do Xanadu with Jinx Monsoon. I don't even know if I can say it, but fuck it, we're saying it. We're doing a 6-month national tour. And so we were looking through things, and of course it pops up that Sugar Cane played this role and looks so cute and so
Malone?
Talented. Yeah.
If only there were a book. A magic book. That listed all the locations in Los Angeles and had their phone numbers next to it.
Los Angeles.
If you didn't know, I love Xanadu the musical. Well, absolutely fucking love it.
I'm playing Mary Testa's role.
Oh, I love
it. And Jinx is playing the other one. She's playing Jackie Hoffman.
Jackie Hoffman's?
Role. Yeah. But they're actually rewriting it for us.
What?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm very excited about it. Anyway.
Nice. All right. Back to Sugar Cane. Sorry.
So anyway, this is just like a loose way of pulling both stories together. But I met Sugar Cane a couple years ago when I was doing a brunch in New York City, one of the Voss Events brunches. And she's worked, you know, for him in New York for, well, as long as I've worked for him. So nice. So talented. I think just really beautiful in an old school kind of drag way. I don't know. I'm really in her corner, and I want to see her do well.
Nice. Silky Nutmeg Ganache.
Silky. Big Silk got the good old milk.
Munch, munch, crunch, crunch.
I know Silky from Continental Plus. I've known her for several years now. She's one that drives me crazy because I understand everything about her. I understand where she's coming from. I understand why she feels the need to do the things she does and say the things she says. But I also understand how badly it's going to affect her when people lash out against it. You don't always have to be on 100%. It's okay to show the human side of yourself without worrying about making great TV or worrying about being the center of attention. She naturally has a huge personality, and we've had some really great times together, and I love her as an entertainer. There's something very infectious about watching her on stage, but she does need to learn how to just dial it back a little bit and
bring it to an 8, not
let
11.
Everybody, yeah. It's season 11, not volume 11. It's okay to let other people have a moment while you breathe in the corner.
Yeah.
So I think that would be my only concern about her going forward, is that she doesn't seem to be letting up. She doesn't seem to be stopping and taking a moment, taking a breath, and taking it all in. Instead, she's just pile driving through it.
She's trying to get everything to be a catchphrase. Everything.
Yeah.
Well, and then we have the backlash of her sexual misconduct allegations and whatnot that have all come out since the show started.
But if you look at the way she's handled herself with some of the guest judges, like Miley on the first episode, and then Guillermo, oh God, what's his name?
Guillermo Diaz?
Yes, yeah, from yeah, Scandal.
Yep.
This past week on Untucked, she has no sense of personal space. Well, I won't say she has no sense, but it's coming across is that she doesn't have any kind of sense of personal space. And she's picking them up and she's grinding on them, yeah, and she's doing all these things that it's just not okay to do if you don't ask for permission first.
Yeah.
If there's not some kind of consent, you shouldn't be doing it.
Also, with her social media presence, she's got to like dial it back a little bit, because it's coming across as very strong, very pointed. Every time someone says something about her on social media, it's an instant attack on them. It's not like, hey, let's try to understand this. And as somebody who's done that before, it's not like, she just needs to relax. Like, people are going to have their critiques about you and their yeah, opinion about you. You don't have to go out there and prove them wrong every time. Like, let them have their opinion. Let them do their thing. Just relax.
Because sometimes in doing that, you inadvertently prove their point.
Exactly. And yeah, and you just add to fuel to the fire, and yeah, it continues, and it never gets put out. It just continues to grow and grow and grow and grow, and it just makes you look bad.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
and I understand she's passionate.
Yeah.
And it's great to have passion, but you've got to harness it and use it for good.
Yeah.
Use your powers for good. And I think she is very powerful. You know, she has a huge presence about her.
Yeah.
And she has a way of drawing the eye to her and drawing the camera to her. So I think she needs to use it wisely.
Yep. For sure. Now on to my favorite contestant. Everybody knows how much I love her. Vanessa Vanjie Matteo.
We love Vanjie.
No.
What?
I don't like Vanjie.
Oh, why
that's,
not?
That's the fourth one.
Whoa.
That's the fourth one.
Wow, why?
Oh, wait.
What's the
tea? I thought we were being serious about liking her. I was like, oh, no. I love Vanjie.
You know what it is? I don't mind her this season for the most part. I think she knows a little bit of the game now, yeah, having done the first episode of the previous season. So she is constantly trying to interject. Like during Mercedes and Kahana's lip sync, when you can hear her yelling like over everything, I'm like, well, all right. Well, I mean, that's also post-production and making yeah, sure that her mic slid up a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I you know what it was? The whole Ms. Vanjie got so overplayed.
Well, yeah.
That I was just like, I couldn't anymore.
But is she to blame for that?
Well, I also didn't like her on her first episode before that. It was just a perfect storm for me of like not liking her from the minute she walked into the workroom to the minute she walked backwards off the stage.
Oh, damn.
And then from there, like,
well, but here's the thing. Nope, not everybody's going to connect with every queen that walks into that building. And I think that's par for the course. You're going to meet people in your life you just automatically don't like.
Yeah.
But I will say, I give her a lot of credit for what she's bringing to the runway this season.
My question is, how much of what she's bringing to the runway did she have in store for last season?
None of it.
You don't think so?
None of it.
No.
That's Rue Girl money.
Yeah.
That's true. No,
because you know that she got... She did the tours.
Yeah.
She has an unfair advantage.
She is one of the most successful first eliminated. 100%.
They literally meme'd her ass to death.
Oh, yeah. No. And she made a ton of money off it.
And some of them were phenomenal.
Oh, of course.
Some of them were phenomenal.
I just wish she would wear another color.
Well. But, I mean, that Libra outfit. That Libra outfit with her painted on curl. Like, I thought that was
She had the best look for that run.
I think 100%. She has looked stunning. I think that she is television gold.
Oh, yeah.
I just love that she's this delicate, teeny tiny, petite little porcelain doll that talks like this.
hello, Christine.
That's the funniest thing I've ever seen. Dorky, we could do Dorky. Let's do Dorky. It's like,
it sounds like Cookie Monster.
You can
let's
love
go
her.
Back to Cookie Monster.
You can love her, you can hate her, but you cannot deny that that bitch is TV gold.
Oh, God. She's following the blueprint of Shangela, in my opinion.
Yes.
She came on, had a shitty make your own outfit runway.
Oh, yeah.
And then was popular enough to be brought back.
Oh, yeah.
And is doing a world better than what she did the first time around.
Yeah. Well, because you know Alexis Mateo snatched her ass up by the nape of the neck when she got home and said, "You're not going to... I made it to the top three. You are not going to embarrass our family on TV."
Right?
And then she got all those monies for that meme and going on tour. And Vanessa's... And she's like, "No, you're good. You're good. You're good."
Yeah.
You brought honor back to the name.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, honestly. And of course, I information. I have none of it. But I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Alexis Mateo pop up on a future All-Stars simply for the Vanjie connection to kind of see what kind of fun they could have together.
Yeah. You know, I'm very surprised they didn't bring her in for that first episode and pair them together.
Well, they may have tried.
True.
We know that, with things like that, it kind of goes down to, all right, this is what we're doing. This is the day. This is the time. This is what we need. Who is available?
Yeah, no, I get it.
And I always try to make myself available because it's fun to be there, especially when you're not competing. It is so fun to be there.
You're seeing everyone else freak out. You're just like,
oh, that's the thing.
I look like that.
Oh, I can neither confirm nor deny that I make a special guest appearance on this upcoming episode.
Ooh.
But if I were to make a special appearance on this upcoming episode, which I cannot confirm or deny, I would say that the best part about doing that episode would be the fact that I would get to sit backstage with the girls and have a good time while the rest of them are there with their iPods in their ears and their scripts in front of their faces, freaking out. And I'm just like, I would just be sitting there going, oh my God, like, would I remember being in that position? It's so traumatic and it's so immediate. And that is your entire world. They strip you of everything else in the world.
Yeah.
So you can just focus on the task at hand. And so it becomes your life or death situation, pretty much.
Seriously.
And when you're there as a guest in the house, and you don't really have anything at stake, then it's fun just to kind of sit back and watch all of it happen.
Absolutely. Evie Oddly is next on the list.
I adore Evie Oddly. Evie was the shot girl at Tracks in Denver, which is Nina Flowers' bar.
Yes.
And I've worked there several times, and I am not a drug taker of any sort. I love to drink alcohol. That is my libation of choice.
Libation.
Is
she on season 12?
Libation.
Libation.
She's going on a Live Nation tour. Anyway, so my very first time in at Tracks in Denver, I had gotten some Twitter messages from Evie saying, "Hey, I just want to know what kind of like cookies you like. What's your favorite flavor cookie?" I was like, "Oh, I love peanut butter." Not thinking anything about it. I get there and this bitch feeds me like 7 or 8 peanut butter weed cookies.
Oh, Lord.
In the course of one song.
Oh.
I was beyond high because that's so far out of my wheelhouse anyway. Not to mention we're in Denver, Colorado, where it's already like the elevation is screwing with my whole system. It's snowing outside. I'm so hot. I'm like drenched and sweating. I'm running through the dressing room, stripping all my clothes off. I get out into the snow in my stockinged feet with my bra and my hip pads and my panties on. And no hair, and just start vomiting against the wall.
Ouch.
And then somebody drives by and goes, "Oh my God, is that Ginger Minj?" It's like, "Yeah, hey sis, smoke for me." And it was it's turned into one of those things that's like, I like that bitch. I really like her. I think she's fun. I think she's funny. I think that she's so creative. And she's always willing to take chances. And I think that's really, really cool. Not since Sharon have I seen somebody with that kind of aesthetic that I'm so excited about.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So the last three we have, we'll just do a quick little talk about what happened, like, you know, the challenge their episode and them getting kicked off. So we'll do them in order. So we have Soju.
Oh, Soju. Our sister.
I've met Soju a couple times. I think that she's very charming. She has a great personality. I don't think it really translates well to television.
Yeah.
I feel like she was in a little over her head as far as the competition goes. But I'm glad that she had the platform to kind of spring her YouTube series forward. Bring a little, shed a little more light onto that, because Shot with Soju is, it's a great online series, and it really puts the focus back on Drag Race and the Rue Girls. So I think it's nice to see them kind of come together.
Yeah, and she's another one that everyone wanted to see on there for a very long time, and then she got on there, and then we all saw what happened. So
I don't have to talk or put my pads on or wear heels. What are you doing, girl? Are you going to put a face on?
Right.
How dare you? You're not Ginger Minj.
But I have a strong feeling we'll see her come back for another season. I feel like...
I don't think she had the same impact as a Shangela, as a Vanjie.
I don't either. But I think that's okay. I think that she's going to move forward with the Drag Race brand.
Oh, yeah.
And she's going to certainly be very successful in it, doing what she does best.
Yeah.
I don't think what she does best is being a competitor on the show.
All right. So then episode 2, we say goodbye to Kahana Montrese.
I love Kahana.
Kahana.
Kahana. Coco Montrese, of course, is our good Orlando sister. Before she went out to Vegas to be a Vegas showgirl, she was one of our own right here. And, you know, when I was first starting drag, she was pretty much at her pinnacle here in Orlando. I learned a lot from her. She's always been a very good sister to me. She's always been really lovely, very encouraging. I really, really adore her. So I knew going into this that whoever she chose to be her child was going to kind of embody the same qualities that she has and that she finds important. And from what I know of Kana, she certainly is a lot like her mother in the sense that she's very kind and she's very talented and she wants to be as perfect as possible at all times. And all of those things don't always mesh together. Yeah. So there's always some kind of struggle there. And I get it. I understand it completely. But I think she's a beautiful boy, a beautiful girl, and a fantastic entertainer.
Yeah. Her song was great, too.
That music video is one of the best Drag Race
it's
music
so
videos
good.
Ever.
And that song is good, too. It's catchy. It's very catchy.
Yeah.
It scores.
It's got a good beat. You can dance to it. Remember Score Candy Bars?
No. Yes.
No.
Yeah. Oh, they were just disgusting.
When did they come out?
It was like the dark brown, shiny wrapper with the red writing on it. Yeah. And it was SKOR.
I want to say so, yeah.
Oh, wait. Aren't they still around?
They might be.
I don't know. They were terrible, though. They were really kind of gross.
Oh.
All
right.
Episode Do you remember the cookies and cream Hershey, though?
Oh. Yes.
That's so good. Is that still a thing?
No.
I would love one.
But the gold Hershey bar is delicious.
What's that?
It's a Hershey bar, but it's got pretzel in it.
Oh, I don't want that.
So
remember pretzel M&Ms?
No.
I knew they were a thing. I never had them.
Those were good.
Crispy M&Ms?
Yes.
The peanut? Oh, God, those were so good.
Those were nice. They had like the
the M&M
like
minis?
The wafer kind of thing. And like a crisp rice cereal.
Yeah.
We're hungry.
So I love the fact that one of my favorite things when listening to the Race Chaser podcast was Willem saying that she knew that Kahana was Coco's daughter because they're missing the same tooth.
Boop!
I saw that. I saw that meme. I did.
Terrible.
Forgot about it till you brought it up.
The best part. I love it.
Score bar is still around.
Yeah. Come on.
We'll have
to. It's like a Heath bar. But they're thinner.
But I like Heath bars.
Yeah. It's probably the toffee difference.
Anyway.
So episode 3, the most recent one that we have seen as of this taping, because this will come out right after or after I think two more episodes come out, depending on how I put these out there,
yeah.
Is Honey Davenport, who we lost after the six-way lip sync for Your Life, mm-hmm. after they butchered the Shevangelical television show about Mariah Carey. And I had just come from seeing Mariah in Chicago that Monday to then come back on Thursday and watch that travesty unfold.
Well, I was sitting there at the viewing party with Honey in New York City. I'm not a huge fan of Mariah Carey. I like her, but I'm not like a diehard fan. But I somehow seem to know a lot more about her as an artist and in her personal life. Just as myself than they did collectively.
Seriously.
It was embarrassing at lack of knowledge that they had overall. And it was even more frustrating that they realized they had a lack of knowledge and still pushed forward.
Yep.
I agree with the ones who were like, oh, maybe it's not cool to do Whitney. But if you know enough about Whitney, you do not have to focus on the end of her life. You can focus on all of the incredible things that she did, all of her accomplishments, and the reasons that we would be praising her as an icon and a diva and a deity.
Well, and what got me was you're doing a Shevangelical Church of Mariah show. You can do a couple of little cracks about like some of the big mishaps in her more recent life, but why would you ever focus on them if you're trying to convert somebody to the Church of Mariah?
Exactly.
I was getting offended that like this is what you're using.
Well, and of course, like my religious background is like rising up within me and screaming, "Lambs, lambs!" She calls them lambs. Lambs are all over the Bible,
right?
This is like, it's so easy to make that happen. And they call the wind Mariah. They could have done any of those references to bring it back to Mariah Carey, to Drag Race.
Well, they call the wind Mariah religion. Is how she got her name.
Exactly.
And it's just, there's so much about it that she was such a big part. She is such a big part of pop culture that there is no way that you can sit there and tell me you don't know more about her.
Exactly.
At all.
Yeah. So that was frustrating, but it was even more frustrating that they didn't just collectively decide to do something else.
And then they just took the few things that Rue said in that walkthrough, and then that's what they used and just kept going back to.
Uh-huh.
And then Plessy with like Ariana Grande.
If it was me, I would have fought to do something like Tina Turner, because I know everything about Tina Turner, her original, like before she was Tina Turner, when she was Anna Mae Bullock, I know everything about her life and her career. I could have guided everybody in the right direction. You just need a one person to know everything about one other person.
There's six people on that team. Somebody, anybody, had to know something about one other diva that they could have been like
something.
I'll help guide. Like, let's write this.
Yeah.
None of them. Not a single one of them.
Where's Pharamo when you need her? For Christina, like...
Oh my god, if it was Christina versus Britney, that
would have been everything.
Oh,
everything.
But I don't know. Anyway, it's...
Whitney versus Tina.
It was very frustrating to watch, especially since the very first group, the Britney group, was so fantastic.
Amazing.
They were so spot on, and everything was slick. It was... You could tell that they were improvising and having fun, but you could tell that there was certainly a plan going into it.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
Brooklyn, as much as I love her, was weaker than most of them, but not as weak as Mercedes.
Yeah.
Who just wore her outfit from the week before back out on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, with them same boots, too. Like, or with she grabbed Plastique's boots, because yeah. furry boots in her outfit from the week before.
And then she botched the one line that she had, which I feel could have been a very funny line if it was played correctly.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, she was very lucky. She ended up on the team. She did.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Vanjie killed it. She was hysterical. Nina West.
Thank you, Vanjie.
Killed it.
I just think myself.
Exactly.
I will say, for as much as I don't like her, I have appreciated her on this season. So. Has it changed my mind 100%, but I
really
give her credit.
But I feel like overall that team worked together and they knew
what they were
the
doing.
Subject matter. Yes.
And if it was only one or two people that knew that much about it, they helped guide that entire script.
Exactly.
Which worked well.
Exactly.
So let's point out Honey Davenport, since she's the last one and this was the episode that she went home on. What are your thoughts on Honey?
I really like Honey. I've always liked Honey a lot. She's another one of the Davenport family. Incredible entertainer. She's like one of the crown jewels of New York City.
Yeah.
You know, she is very well respected and beloved by that entire community.
And was part of a whole, like, crazy social media uprising.
Oh, yeah.
Monster, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, when there was the whole issue about, like,
the racism.
The racist ads and, like, all of this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot that.
Yeah. Actually, I met Mitch Farino on the Kesha cruise.
Yeah.
Because he was there with Bob and Bob's boyfriend and all that. I was chatting with them and I was like, oh, my God. I listened to Sibling Rivalry and, you know, like, when all the Honey stuff, you know, came up, I'd heard your name and I'm like, it's so awesome to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's how I first really kind of learned about Honey.
Yeah.
Because that was, I think, DryCon weekend.
Yeah. That was
because I want to say I was on the train back from the city and was reading and watching those videos and all of that.
They were supposed to do a DryCon show there and then that happened.
And they backed out. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it was insane and it went viral. And and that's the type of person that Honey is. That's the type of entertainer she is. She's very politically minded. She totally wants to take care of her community. And that's why she's such an icon in New York and people just love her. So it was very jarring to see her go so quickly.
Yeah.
I don't know that I completely agree with it. Simply based on that challenge.
Yeah.
I thought her runway was stronger than a lot of the other runways. It was more creative. I thought that while her performance wasn't fantastic, there were a few that could probably be pinpointed in that group that were worse.
Yeah.
I thought her lip sync was better than
I think
most
when she threw herself off the stage, I think that kind of, because I mean, it could all be editing, but when they panned it, when they cut to Rue and she just had that look of disgust, I was like, Rue was not happy with this episode.
Her mom jumped off the stage during Seven and it was fine.
Well, I mean, Kennedy went off the stage. Sahara went off the stage. Yeah. Like it.
Mimi picked someone up. I mean,
And went home, so she's just she's following Mimi's footsteps. Yeah.
But if you're continuing your family tradition, what better time than when there are five other bitches on the same stage as you and there's nowhere to go? The season 7 final four lip sync that we did to Born Naked, there was four of us and that was almost a disaster.
Yeah.
Because there's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
You basically and bark during those because you can't move around the stage.
And it's just really hard to find a spot where you can try to entertain at all and try to pull a little bit of focus from the judges over to you with three other people. So I can't imagine having six people on the stage at one time. I thought if there was ever a time for a Davenport to jump off the stage, that was it.
Yeah.
Maybe if she did it better, because it really just looked like she flung herself.
Well, who
knows? It wasn't so graceful.
Who knows? But she seemed to know the words more than anybody else in that lip sync. I don't know. I didn't think she was the worst.
Yeah.
And I truly felt, and I'm sorry, Raja fans, but I felt like Raja probably should have gone home because her runway was nice, but it was boring.
Yeah.
And she was the team leader.
Yeah.
And Drag Race has set the precedent that if your team wins and you're the leader, you're typically the winner of the challenge.
Yeah.
That's what happened with me on Glamazonian Airways on season 7. I'll say that Mrs. Kasha Davis gave the best performance of the entire challenge, and I know that she did. I picked her to do that role, but the reason that they told me I won was because I led the team to victory. So it's also been turned around in the past and said, you know, well, this was your team, so you should be responsible for their failure.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, sashay away.
Yep.
I felt like she didn't lead her team at all. At least they didn't show us that she did.
No.
I forgot that she was the team leader until it was mentioned again.
Until you just mentioned it, I forgot she was the team leader.
And she was directly opposite Honey singing the hymn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, even if she wasn't team leader, I still think that she and Honey were the weakest, too. Because even though Plastique and what's her name?
Akiria.
Was that Akiria?
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't a great segment. It was still better than the him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt like, as much as I like Scarlett, I thought she was incredibly weak and out of place.
Yeah.
In that whole challenge. So, I don't know. I kind of would have put Scarlett in the bottom three in my head. Like, if I'm just basing it on that, it would have been Scarlet, Honey, and Raja.
I mean, I'm not 100% mad that all six of them had to, because overall, that entire challenge was really rough. Really rough.
Yes. Their half of it certainly was.
Yeah. The Brittany side was fantastic. Yeah. They deserved the win. They deserved all of that. There was a weak link, a weaker performance, and then a bunch of really good, strong performers.
But this is also why I'm, like, totally in love with season 11 so far, because there's really high highs and really low lows.
Yeah.
And they usually come within minutes of each other. It's exciting. It's finally, like, really exciting again.
Yeah, absolutely.
After a couple of seasons that were kind of, okay, everybody's fine, everybody did a good job, it's more fun to see, you know, the ups and downs of the competition.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's our season 11 recap. I don't want to keep you guys much longer. There is actually going to be a second part of this episode where we will be dishing on past seasons, since it used to be a thing with Flame On that we always knew a new season was coming when we released our talk with Ginger Minj about the upcoming season. And we missed a few of those, so
I've just been busy. I'm so sorry.
I know. Trust me. We don't begrudge you any of that. Being booked is being blessed. So there you go. But we're gonna wrap this up, and then we're gonna do a little dive into the past seasons, and you guys will get to hear that in 2 weeks. So thank you, Ginger.
That's good.
Thank you, CJ.
Thank
you guys so much for listening. Remember, if you would like to become a supporter of Flame On, head over to patreon.com/nerdyshow. Support the Nerdy Show Network. You can even earmark some of those dollars to come to us. Subscribe, like, rate, review, do all that stuff wherever you find podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play Music, any of them. And check us out online at flameonshow.com, and you can check out all of our social media links from there.
Yeah, and then follow me online on all the platforms, and go watch Dumplin' and Super Drags on Netflix now streaming.
Yes. Yeah. You are at Ginger Minj Official or The Ginger Minj?
Depends. Oh, God, there's so many.
We'll just search Ginger Minj, and we'll
Twitter,
look for the blue check marks.
On Twitter, it's at The Ginger Minj.
Yes.
And on Instagram, it's at Ginger Minj.
Okay. That's and on it. Facebook, your Ginger Minj official fan page.
Yes.
Yeah. Which, I, you know, they've changed all the rules on that, so I barely get on it. Don't fucking worry about that. But definitely Instagram and Twitter.
There you go. And CJ, where can we follow you?
At the C, which is CEE underscore J, JAY, on all social media.
And on OnlyFans.com for $9.99 a month.
Everything.
Backslash at the C underscore J.
.com.
Oh, no. Wait. I need money. I wasn't on Drag Race. I don't have any Netflix shows.
I was on Drag Race and have Netflix shows, and I need money. GingerMinge.com.
/ shop for all your Ginger Minj needs, including a brand new fan.
Yes.
Oh, I do have a brand new fan, because these fans have been, like, really taken off.
Yes.
And especially ours, they're fun. Where can you get it at? At my house, I'll get you one. But the new one says, bless your heart, that's Southern for fuck you.
So good. And we have we'll do it quickly. There's a new album coming out this year.
Ooh.
There is, but we're going to premiere the album in Orlando. So we'll come here and we'll do like a whole thing just on that.
Oh, awesome.
We could do a listening party if we want.
That'd be fantastic.
But this album is totally different from the first album. Sweet Tea was sad and I had a lot of emotions and I was working through some things.
Now you've lost all the emotions.
And now I'm a dancer mama. So it's all pop and rap and dance and fun. It's literally fun.
It's so good. I love it. So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you know that you guys are honorary fifth,
Flamers?
Sixth. I don't know what numbers we are anymore.
Can I return that honorarium?
Shut it. Shut the fuck up, Greg.
Hey.
Pickle Rick. I just learned who that was.
I'm just blessed to be here.
Well, thank you guys so much. You know you're always welcome anytime. So, dear listeners, make sure you go follow them on all the social medias. And we'll be back in 2 weeks with more Ginger Minge and CJ and Drag Race talk. Yeah, until then, peace.
Drag Race, we watch everything.
Now TV Hotline, how can we help?
I've got the best spot on the sofa and a big mug of tea, but I need some great TV. What have you got?
How about over 300 box sets for you to curl up with, like Game of Thrones?
Amazing!
And we've brought must-see movies so you can put your feet up, with over 1,000 like Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Great, sorted.
Relax with over 1,000 movies and 300 box sets streaming on Now TV. 18 plus, month passes auto-renew, terms apply.